afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host, Alfred Adisk, is joining me today. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Today is September 19th, 2017. We have a guest today. How about that, Al? We have a guest, Rob West. And it's been a while since Rob has been on the program today, and we've always enjoyed having Rob. He's going to update us on his book that he's writing about the LIBOR scandal and the LIBOR rate scandal, and he's going to update us that and on some several other things. So it's kind of be like a catching up with Rob West, getting caught up in what he's doing and what he's involved in now. And it really is an exciting, I mean, the LIBOR rate debacle to me is probably one of the biggest scams that has ever been done to this, to the world, not just to this country, but to the world. And very little attention has been paid to it. Few people get fined, few banks get fined. I think one guy maybe went to jail. You know, some little scapegoat got to go to jail for all the powers to be that knew this was happening and allowed it to happen. So, and in a year and a half, they're going to change on how these rates are going to be determined. And personally, what I believe, this is my conspiracy theory, I believe that is when they will usher in a new global monetary policy, you know, a new Bretton Woods or whatever you might want to call it. So, because that's a really big deal, I believe that they're changing the formula for doing these rates. So we'll get caught up with Rob on that. Until then, Al, we have gold. We have, and he'll be joining us at the second segment of the program today. So please stay tuned. Gold today turned around in the last, hour of trade today. Not by much, but every little bit counts. $380 for gold to the upside, $312. Silver was up 11 cents today at $17.38. Platinum was down 7 at $958. Palladium took a beating today, down 3%, $27 at $911. The USDX today was also weaker, down 23 at $91.79. Oil was down a couple cents, 32 to be exact, at $49.59. And the paper markets continue to get just higher and higher. I'm not going to say stronger, but higher and higher. The Dow was up 39 points today at 22,370. The NASDAQ was up 6 at 6,461. The S&P was up 3 points at 2,506. The 10-year yield was up 0.01 at 2.24%. The euro was up about the same amount as the dollar down. Excuse me, folks, 0.36 to the upside at 120. Hong Kong was down a little bit. European and Asian markets were stronger. And all is fine in the world. However, there were some interesting reports out today. And, of course, Mr. Trump, President Trump, did his first address to the United Nations General Assembly today. And I listened to the whole thing, to his whole speech. And it really was interesting. He really did do an American First type introductory. He hammered North Korea. He hammered Iran. He hammered Venezuela. He's talking about how bad socialism is done for and how every country and nation represented in the UN should all put their countries first. And so it was an interesting speech, a good speech, almost like he's like a different person anymore. You see these little changes, and I think he did a good job.
I think he's kind of gaining traction. I think he's kind of adjusted. I get the feeling, and I don't have evidence for it, but Trump looks like he's reached a point where all the criticism, the rest of it, he's just saying, screw it, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And he's maybe even starting to enjoy this. I don't know that it's been fun for the last 6 months, but maybe he's starting to enjoy being in Washington.
Well, you do have to look at those that have been replaced. And were they his problem from the very beginning? I don't know. No one knows. But it is now that a lot of them have been replaced, you're certainly seeing a different, and mainly Kelly. When Kelly got in there, you sort of see, a different sense He's not being bombarded from every, you know, direction, and you know, there, it seems organized. So we'll see. It could be temporary, as we know things can be with Mr. Trump. But I did like his speech. I think he did a good job, and he called he called the Rocket Man. Even at the UN, he called him Rocket Man.
And I call him Fat Boy.
And well,
I'm
not.
You know, it's really offensive about Ung, Kim Il Jong Ung. There are people in North Korea. They are generally starving.
We
the
don't
poorly
know.
Fed. Some of them are eating grass in order to survive. And it's the sort of thing where you say, "Look, I don't mind people being fat. I you know, I'm overweight myself, but." What I'm getting to is a leader who is running around who's fat while his people are eating grass. There's a disconnect there. And his porkiness is evidence that he's not taking care of his people.
Well, we don't know. How do we know his people are eating grass?
Because I heard it on the internet.
You heard that on the internet, then it must be true.
Yes.
So, no doubt, I've seen a report that
they sooner... I've seen pictures, I don't know, it's reports, who knows, you know.
I've seen a report where they sooner eat grass than to stop their nuclear, you know, agenda, but... and I'm sure the people in the country are poor. I can't
imagine. Badly impoverished. I mean, I saw one report where you reportedly told the military to get ready. You're going to go out and steal some more corn because you're going to have to get ready because we may have to go to war here. I'm telling his military, allegedly, to steal some corn, feed themselves so they're, you know, up to strength to fight with the Yankees or whoever's going to invade their country. There's a kind of whatever's going on over there. I don't think anyone can argue that Kim Il-sung is doing his people any good. It's hard to argue that about any government, but he's really off the chart.
I mean, and I'm not supporting his regime whatsoever. And that could be one argument used, though, to the people, saying this is why we're doing what we're doing, because the West and South Korea are not allowing us to become involved in the trade. I mean, you go to the South, you can look a little south from North Korea, and you see a vibrant, one of the biggest trading areas in the country, in the world, South Korea.
Yep.
And they can't get any of that to help their people. So,
well, when you say they can't get any of that, you mean that North Korea would like to import some of that, but it's prohibited by the trade sanctions that have been imposed?
Most of
what they can't get from South Korea, I assume, is because the North Korean government won't let any of that decadent Western merchandise come up into their country.
Well, they trade with China. I'm just saying that, they're surrounded by, more wealth than what they have in there. And if they want a little piece of it, we know he wants to be recognized as a nuclear power, as a nuclear nation. You know, he wants the U.S. out of there. I saw South Korea now, because I said this, why don't they just give South Korea and Japan nuclear weapons, let them all, fight it out amongst the three of them. And South Korea, I saw just recently that now they're actually planting a suggestion that maybe we should have our ability to fight North Korea, and they should have. We shouldn't be there protecting them, but there's so much money there that,
that's one of the reasons why they've been as prosperous as they have. The United States, by keeping 28,000 troops stationed in South Korea, we have to be dumping a lot of dollars into South Korea and into their local economy.
It's too bad that they just can't be.
We have our own army up there.
True, but it's just too bad that we can't. Why do we have to have 28,000 troops there, and why can't we be dumping those dollars here in the United States so we're a little more competitive and we can be, one of the leaders once again?
That's right. We could
trade
28,000 home from North Korea and station them in Chicago or Philadelphia. Then we'd get the benefit of injecting all the dollars that the soldiers are spending. They would go into the American economy.
Well, I was talking more along the lines of trade, but Governor Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania, they delayed more than $1.7 billion in Medicaid and public pension payments that were due on Friday of last week. I believe the Medicaid was Friday and the public pension payments were due yesterday because the state governments, their main account is zero. And this isn't funny.
Pennsylvania?
This is Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. This isn't funny, but they've been battling their budget for, they've been bankrupt for years. All week, state officials have warned that bills would not be paid in full because of a nearly $2.2 billion hole in the budget that the General Assembly has not filled. There was a House package that was passed last Wednesday, but the Senate still needs to conference with the bill, and it wasn't supposed to convene until yesterday. As far as I know, I'm not sure. I couldn't find anything what the outcome is, but I don't think they actually approved anything yesterday. So we're looking at Medicaid payments were not paid on Friday, and the pensions were not paid yesterday. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a plenty big deal. I mean, it's not just – this is parallel to Illinois, and I don't know how many other states are at least following close behind. They can't pay their bills, all right? Government can't – our federal government can't pay its bills. If it could, we wouldn't have a $20 trillion national debt that they admit to, and it might be bigger than that. I mean, everything is bankrupt, really. If I were in, as far behind in my bills as – Philadelphia is, Pennsylvania is, and Illinois is, and the U.S. government is, I'd be bankrupt. They'd be holding an auction. You know, see what's left. Here's your here's your clothes and your suitcase. And
I mean, I think
nice Al, talking this, to you, Al. Get out of here. You're busted,
this,
boy.
I think this is the first time, though, that a state just has not paid. I mean, I think there's been states that they reorganized, and even pensions, they reduced what people were getting or going to get. They renegotiated and brought downs and they changed and so forth to get their budgets through so they and get the money so that this is the first time I believe that they actually did not pay because they had no money.
Well, technically, and technically, when you actually stop and you understand money, the difference between money and currency, none of us have paid any of our bills with gold and silver, which is a means of payment. All we've done is discharge our bills with pieces of paper since 1971.
Right.
I mean, with this bankruptcy, this talk about bankruptcy, this is not a new thing. This isn't something that just popped up in the last 12 or 18 months. This has been going on since Nixon said we can't pay our bills. And that's what he said. That's what he said implicitly when he said we're not going to give you any more gold for the dollar. That's what it was. It was an admission of bankruptcy, and that's for foreign countries. When they said that the government wasn't going to redeem any more bills in silver in 1968, that was the end of the line. All right, at that point in time, government technically stopped paying its bills. They've been getting along on these little green pieces of paper and chits, and everybody says, well, sure, I paid my bills. I gave them a $100 bill, you know? It's nothing but a piece of paper. It's a promise to pay. It's not a payment. And very few people really understand that. But the point is we've been operating in bankruptcy now for probably throughout my lifetime and maybe longer than that. And it gives you an indication of how long it's possible to maintain the illusion of solvency if you're a government. Now, our government has been able to maintain this illusion of solvency far longer than, say, the government of France or the government of Uganda. They couldn't pull a stunt off as long as we have because we were more powerful. But the truth is that the bankruptcy, this isn't news. This has been going on for decades, and nobody got it. Nobody paid any attention to it, and everybody thought, you know, it's like your Pennsylvania people are saying, where they're warning that they won't be able to pay the bills in full. All right? That was what they were warning a week ago. And now, are they paying the bills at all? Are they paying some of the bills and some they're not paying? Are they paying? I think I get the impression from what you read, Melody, that they're just flat out not paying. When they
no,
say
they
we're not
flat out
pay,
did not pay.
Pardon me?
Delayed payments will remain stalled until funding exists.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just did not pay.
When hell freezes over. Get the big frost down there in the Hades. As soon as we get that big frost, we're going to be paying those bills. You can trust us because we're from the government. The whole thing, we really are sitting on the edge of something very fragile right now. And I don't, it's hard to understand what's going on. It's like being, it's like standing on a tectonic plate when that plate is really so unstable that an earthquake is likely to take place at any moment. On the other hand, it might not take place for several years, but we're standing there on the edge of that tectonic plate, and it's hard to say, gee, this is dangerous. It doesn't look that dangerous. How bad could it be? Well, I don't know. But if this thing goes south, it may be a extraordinary experience for all of us. It'll be a little like when the Titanic sank and the survivors, A Night to Remember, the name of the movie, the name of the book, A Night to Remember. This is going to be, sooner or later, we're going to have a year to remember and maybe a decade to remember.
There's so. Something else I wanted to talk about. The U.S. current account widened sharply in the second quarter, jumped to its highest level since 2008 in the second quarter, amid a decline in both the secondary and primary income. The Commerce Department said today the current account deficit, which measures the flow of goods, services, and investments into and out of the country, increased to $123.1 billion from a downwardly revised $113 billion in the first quarter. This is the highest level since the fourth quarter of 2008. Most economists that were polled by Reuters had forecast the current account deficit slipping to $115 billion from previously reported. So they were off big time. $123.1 billion is the U.S. current account deficit. It's highest level since 2008. And so, you know, you can put on, you can make those paper stock markets go higher. And that was the only thing that disturbed me about Trump's speech, is when he first came out, he talked about how great the stock market is. He talked about how many jobs were being created in the United States.
That's gonna come
he
back
talked
to bite
about
him.
All the money that was coming in from foreign investments and so forth. And that is, that's all going to come back and bite him, because none of that is, most of that you can argue, well, you know, yeah, maybe Obama was really responsible for some of that, you know, with all the stimulus from the Federal Reserve, but also, I mean, the stock market is up 4,000 points since he came in, but that's all based on the hope of infrastructure spending and tax reform. You know, you don't get those two issues, that 4,000 points will be wiped out fairly quickie, very quickie, very quickly. And
all right,
we'll
and we will. We're
going to
take a break, and we'll be back quickie too.
Quickie
on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Our guest is Rob West from RMEAdvisors.com. And we haven't talked to Rob in about a year. And Rob is up to a number of interesting new projects. And the most important, I think, probably involves LIBOR rates, but maybe we'll get to those a little later. And Rob, you tell us you've got a nutritional diet emphasis that makes you feel like you're 30 again.
Well,
I thought you were 25. I thought you were 25. Is it making you feel 5 years older, or what's happened here?
Well, there you go. Yeah, at my tender age of 66, I think that 30 was close enough.
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Hi, Melody. Good to talk to you guys.
Same here.
Yeah.
What's your nutritional secret?
You know, it's just so simple, and because of a little bit of health history, I just took a lot more interest and did some reading. But to go on the nutritional thing, you just convince yourself first to do things differently and just make different choices for what you what you eat.
You don't have a cure, you just have common sense. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, it's no reason to make a mystery of it, but there's been a few things I followed and gotten a lot of good information from a couple of nutritional doctors. One of them had the show on GCN. But, you know, it's like a lot of things in life. I guess you got to get older if you live long enough, and then you'll figure these things out. And then I lost about 30
pounds.
Wish
somebody would have told you when you were younger. It's one of those things where if I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have taken a lot better care of myself.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, just different parts of your life, sometimes you just don't even think about it. And so it's really not a care. It's not that you're trying to neglect yourself. It's just not something that you put high on your list. But, so I changed that around, and that's been and it's not hard at all, and it's not hard to maintain. So,
So basically, you lost 30 pounds, and I was hoping for a secret pill, Rob.
Well, it's kind of like your work, Melody. You know, it is what it is, and there's no secret pill.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Well, I'm glad you're feeling healthy, and so you have a lot to catch us up on.
Well, there's quite a few things that I've been able to put a lot more emphasis on. And you know, when your nutritional elements are messed up, it can have different effects on you. You know, not only how you feel, but the activity, and then your thinking. It's just pretty important, and I just became a victim of my own self, I guess, over time, and I got that pretty well squared around. But yeah, I've got a couple of projects I've been able to bring on. This book I've been working on with the LIBOR fraud, I really came to a standstill because I couldn't arrive at the right conclusion because it was an unopened thing. Then this recent class action suit in the Southern District of New York, really vindicated everything that I've been writing about and talking about.
Well, let's tell people what LIBOR is all about to begin with. Let's introduce that concept of LIBOR and tell them what we're talking about.
Okay. Well, Al, this goes hand in hand with one of the things that I picked up from you quite some time ago. And you know, because you have money in your pocket, well, it makes you think it's yours. Because at the end of the day, you'll find that money is loaned into the system.
Yeah.
And LIBOR stands for the London Interbank Offered Rate. And way before Wall Street, London was the money center in the world, and so LIBOR is now a composite of up to 18 banks on a daily basis that submit an interest rate based on what that particular bank feels would be a likely charge given their solvency, the global climate, just a whole bunch of factors. And so they introduce their suggested rates for a one-day loan up to a one-year loan and what kind of risk that would be over that time period. And then of those submitted interest rates, the top six are thrown out, the bottom six are thrown out, and then the average in the middle is used for the LIBOR rate for that day. And then over in the United States, most things are benchmarked off of that LIBOR rate, including...
You mean if I want to borrow money on a credit card, or if I want to borrow money from a bank, the interest they charge me when I walk in the door at the bank is, or at least it may reflect what LIBOR has declared the global interest rate should be for that day?
Yeah, that's where all this starts. And a lot of loans is pretty clear up front, particularly in mortgages and that it's referenced at some point to the LIBOR for the day or for the week or whatever.
When we talked to you a year ago, something like that, you talked about using the LIBOR. The LIBOR had been caught in a fraud, a massive fraud, and it probably goes back, I don't know, 3-5 years ago. Is that true? Is that roughly correct or not?
Well, my research has indicated 19 years and as long as back as 1991. That this rigging has been going on.
Yeah, but when did they get caught? When were they exposed?
In 2012.
Okay.
The Department of Justice and the FBI, really got the impetus. They probably knew about it way a long time ago. But,
I imagine so.
Well, Timothy Geithner said he knew about it, and I think he was out of office before 2012. When he, but I can't remember when he actually made that admission.
Well, the point is,
they were rigging it.
There were convictions based on this LIBOR fraud, and that affected other laws, particularly including mortgages, which is what we talked about at the time a year ago. You've got a much broader list of financial instruments that are affected by this. It may be affected by this now, but at the time, if I understood correctly, there was an attorney in Florida who was using the convictions as evidence of criminal activity, and it was possible to argue that if you'd been paying your mortgage based on LIBOR rates, you had a basis for negating the mortgage, void causing the mortgage to be void, and essentially walking away without paying the mortgage on your house. Am I correct about that, or roughly correct?
You're right in that ballpark. There are a number of practitioners that have picked up on this, but by and large, I found the legal community has avoided it, taking a set on it. And I have my own reasons why I believe they've done that. But suffice it to say, if you recall, we have a little ranch here between Denver and Colorado Springs, and a $98,000 secured mortgage. I brought this to the attention. It took a couple of years, and suddenly, in November of 2014, I received a letter saying that the loan was satisfied.
And you had an outstanding balance of $98,000 on the mortgage?
Right.
And it was because you gave them notice that you knew that they'd been involved in criminal activity.
Oh, yeah.
And based on that, they said, we don't want to talk to you anymore, so you just keep the house, and we will keep our paperwork, and just don't talk to us anymore.
Yeah, and since then, a few other kindred kind people, I've known Dave Krieger is one that does a lot of work with mortgage through the court system, which what I did is there was a fellow I got to know in Denver who was a professor at UD in law, and I spoke to his class a few times, and I helped him write a case that we submitted in one of the counties here in Colorado. And if I was an attorney, I would look up what I've already done, and I would take this on and offer a service, and for their contingency fee, they'd probably make $1 billion. You know, I mean, they don't have to worry about retiring. They don't have to worry about being out of favor with the banking system because it might be a client at some time. But suffice it to say, I provided enough information just on my own through the lending network, and they changed servicers on me a few times in that process. But I just suddenly got the letter, and at first it was confusing, but it wasn't forgiven. It wasn't anything like that. I got the county paper that they submitted to release the lien on the property, and so I took that and I recorded it in Douglas County here in Colorado, so I wouldn't have a cloud on title going forward. And it wasn't saying that it was forgiven or anything like that. It just said it was satisfied. So
it was satisfied, meaning that it was effectively paid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I questioned them in writing about it, and they just wouldn't address it at all, which doesn't surprise me. So.
And there were no conditions attached to it at all?
No.
Wow, that's awesome.
I thought it would make an interesting chapter for the book, but I didn't get any material from them, so.
Well, that's why they don't talk about it any more than they have to, because if they do, all of the great unwashed would be trying to do this. As a practical matter, this strategy can't be applied with every mortgage in the United States, but it could be applied to what percentage of mortgages do you suppose are dependent on LIBOR during the time when criminal activity is known to have taken place?
Well, it's pretty deep, and yeah, Al, you and Melody talk about this in various ways, probably on a daily basis, but you know, the financial system, as you have presented on your show, is, you know, it's very tenuous, and the things that I found out personally, I believe with the class action suit that I would encourage all your listeners to look into joining the suit, which they can do. And
now this suit is taking place in a federal court in one of the districts in New York. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Southern District.
Okay.
And Barclays is the lead in this suit. And what happened, because I know some people that are a little closer to it than most people, Barclays was the first one to turncoat on the rest of the banks that were involved in the manipulation. Then after Barclays said, look, if you go easy with me, then I'll tell you about the other guys and exactly what they did, because I was part of that too. Then shortly after Barclays, then Lloyds of London's bank said, hey, wait, we'll tell you everything we know too if you go easy on us. So if you go to this proof of claim website, which is really registered under antitrust litigation, and U.S. dollar LIBOR settlement is the name, and the courts made Barclays put this website together and tells who is eligible to participate in the class action. And it also lists the banks that are... the purposes of the settlement, the non-settling defendants are collectively with Barclays, and then they're listing another 18 banks. And
now these are the people. They're non-settling, which means Barclays is settled. They said they've gone along with the program. They've essentially admitted that they were responsible for some sort of mistakes, but the rest of the banks, they didn't get in on the deal. And so now they have to fight their way out of this, or they have to confess crimes and take great liability.
Well, keep in mind that the reason this class action is there and available is because of the criminal convictions that's already taken place. And I said criminal convictions.
Yeah.
And this is why a lot of people haven't followed this, because it would appear that your mortgage, your student loan, or car loan, Visa, MasterCard, would be a matter of civil. And what happens is when the LIBOR is manipulated and then shipped overseas to the United States, that makes that particular tranche of money tainted money. And under the criminal code, it makes anything made out of that money to be a counterfeit instrument. So that's why I got the release, or the satisfaction letter, on our place. Because I clearly pointed that out and told them exactly where to go. And they also knew what they did with the loan in the meantime during the securitization process. And I told them that I was going to contact the trustee of the trust in New York who was responsible to securitize the loan, because they failed in their mission. And that's a no-no, because the trust itself is a neutral pass-through entity that passes along a tax responsibility to whoever buys parts of the trust. That's where you get your mortgage-backed security. And so that trustee would be in major doo-doo with the IRS, because through my audit, I knew the loan I was talking about never even reached the trust for 8 years, and it had 45 days to get there. So there was a number of things that I'm sure they were completely disturbed about. So the easiest thing for them to do is to send me a letter and say, thanks, it's dissatisfied. And then that's basically what it said.
Well, that's it's an extraordinary story, and it's not just an extraordinary story in the sense that you had your mortgage reduced by $98,000. It's an extraordinary story because this is not a story that's just about you. It's evidence of a kind of criminal activity that's taking place throughout the system.
For a long time.
The system has, and not just recently, it's been running like a racket for a long time. A criminal enterprise. And once the evidence of that begins to show up, we can only wonder, you know, how long can the system hold together? If it was that systemic, if the problem was that systemic, or this, it wasn't just happening to a couple of mortgages or a couple of banks. This is systemic. That tells us that the system itself is corrupt and it is due for some sort of a massive failure. And I think what we'll do is we'll talk about that, or I'll ask what you want. We'll talk about this potential massive failure when we return in a moment. We're going to take a couple of commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Rob West from our RME Advisors. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest Rob West from RME Advisors. And Rob has been telling us about the problem LIBOR's had with corruptly establishing interest rates and some people associated with LIBOR being charged and convicted of crimes. And as a result, it renders the money that was derived from these crimes, anything that that money was used to produce, is deemed to be counterfeit, if I'm understanding this roughly correctly. And you can go after this and say, ha-ha, you used corrupt money, criminally acquired funds to perhaps create some of these mortgages. And that was illegal. The mortgage document is counterfeit, and therefore, well, the bank, in Rob's case, declared that his $98,000 mortgage was satisfied. Now, we were talking about the problem was systemic. This wasn't a small thing that just happened with one or two banks. This is going throughout the system. And it is evidence that the system itself is inherently corrupt. And I was asking Rob, what's the probability that that system will be able to heal itself and continue to function in a legitimate manner? Or must the system, if it's based on corruption, to whatever extent it's based on corruption, must it fail if it has to behave in an honest way?
Well, you and Melody have such a great way of describing, and we're all looking at the same picture. It's just, you know, the beauty, you know, the beauty and the value of art is different for me than it is for you. But if we're talking about the same thing, and in this case, the reset of the financial value is imminent, and those who are pulling the strings that will still be ahead of the game when they get it reset are the ones that are buying gold and silver and controlling the price of it, you know, on, you know, the manipulated exchange, which you guys talk about a lot. And what they've done here, there's been the Consumer Protection Agency, Consumer Protection Financial Agency, has been copied on everything that I've done and a number of other people as well. And because Trump was elected, it's obvious that people are saying some things differently than the globalist money here. And this is just, you know, we're talking about the same thing every time, all the time. There was so much pressure put on that the Southern District Court of New York would more or less forced into providing the class action. Now, keep in mind, this class action is from August 2007 till May 2010. Financial instruments owned any time between those two periods of time. Well, my research goes back a long time. And so they just picked that period, and Barclays said, well, ante up $120 million, which, you know, you may as well, that's a drop, you know, in the ocean, you know. And so you have to go to their website to find file the claim, and you'll see all the parameters there. I'd be happy to share what I'm doing if your listeners would like to get a heads up on that. But so they were forced into the corner on August 7th of 2010. Any financial instrument at that time. And a lot of people are just so busy with their lives and don't even have, you know, a financial acumen. But financial instruments were, like you said, Al, you know, credit cards, student loans, mortgages, car loans. And even if you weren't damaged, okay, if you owned that instrument back then, you know, it puts you eligible for the claim. And as you go through the claim process, if they limit it to $120 million, which I think is open-ended, and you have till, it used to be December 30th to file the claim, I was just advised by one of my inside guys about 2 hours ago, they've now changed it and moved the timeline closer to the 21st of December. And you okay. need to go to... long story short, anybody that did something financial with an instrument during that period of time initially just for the purposes of this suit, go on that site and file a claim, and how much money they might get awarded, I don't know.
If you owned a home and since sold it, are you still eligible?
Sure, yeah.
Because you did have a financial instrument during that mm-hmm. period of time. Can you tell us again what period of time we're talking about, Rob?
August 2007 through May 2010.
May 2010, so, okay.
To me, this is one of those iceberg things. You know, I see that little tip. So
yeah.
This is going to open the door for a lot of more things to occur. Like I said, the non-settling defendants, you know, include Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, HSBC.
Yeah, so we've got $120 million coming out of Barclays?
And I think these other 18 are going to be tapped on the shoulder, too, because I don't know, we're not privy to what Barclays is telling, you know, the court system and so forth. But, yeah, so I think it's
now,
going to go into... Go ahead.
Is Barclays putting up $120 million as compensation? That's not for everybody who's been adversely affected by LIBOR rates. It's for everybody who did business with Barclays.
No.
And was adversely affected by LIBOR rates. Is that true or false?
No, that's not right.
It's $120 million for everybody.
Well, let me break this down for you. Barclays was the lead because they were the first to turn on their buddies. And so that's why on the very front page when you go to this website, it says, for the purposes of this settlement, the non-settling defendants are, and it lists 18 more banks.
Yep.
So all of these are going to be subject to putting money into that settlement for that time frame. But I'm telling you, this is that time frame. I don't know how they came up with it, but that's just a teeny piece. $120 million wouldn't even start the bus.
No, I get that.
Yep.
But that time frame, all of them are still liable on this time frame between 2007,
yep.
August of 2007 to May of 2010. All of them are liable in that time frame, but Barclays, to make a claim on Barclays, you're going to have to get that claim in by mid-December.
Well, it's just not only Barclays, it'll be the others too. Now keep in mind.
Oh, the others also.
Yeah. That's why that's why it says, for the purposes of this settlement, okay, Barclays has got the lead line, but the non-settling defendants are, and it means that these guys haven't agreed to what they're going to do. It doesn't say they're going to have to, okay, because they're already fingered. And a number of them are already subject to that criminal conviction. I think there's probably 17 of them, actually.
So you can bet that whatever happens, they're going to cough up another $100 million apiece. Just take a guess, just broad pick. And some of them might go a lot higher than that. But there will be a lot more money introduced into this fund. The question is, how bad are they going to fight to keep their funds? Are they going to go out of business if they're significantly fined?
But isn't it a matter of how many actually sign up?
Well, that's why I believe they've moved from December 30th to December 21, and that just changed overnight. And I believe they'll shorten it again. I believe they'll shorten it again because they're seeing how many people are showing up. So if you fall in that time frame for that period, then look at this site. And just because I mentioned these 18 banks, the warehousing system to distribute money down to your local bank where you've got your car loan or your home loan is all part of that. See, I'm just mentioning the guys who started it here in the country. So,
okay, we've got 18 major banks, but we've got hundreds, maybe thousands of minor banks, but maybe only scores of minor banks or local banks. But this is not limited to the big boys. The big boys are named, but this goes all the way down to the lower banks. And what you're suggesting is that one way or another, they are at least liable to perhaps declaring that your mortgage has been satisfied. Is that do you suppose that's a halfway accurate statement or not?
Oh yeah, we're starting to get more pen on the paper here. Here's what I'm going to do. Okay, I'm going to file, and what they're going to do is take everybody who submits their claim and decide how much of whatever they're going to distribute you would be eligible for. So if, let's say, I file for my pickup truck and someone else filed because they lost their house, well, their damages were greater than mine, so I would suppose the committee would give whoever lost their house more money than I would get. You see, now, just because you're a member of the class action, they're just going to send money of some amount. I don't know how they're going to arrive at that. Now, on top of that, I know people that have been foreclosed on. They have damages that are huge. In this case, plus the convictions behind that make this case available in the public domain right now, use that to personally file a suit for your damages. Now you're going to talk about millions. Because it's no question that the convictions were there. There's no question that an effort was made to give some financial remedy. And so if a lawyer is representing you, he has no homework to do. It's all there.
Okay. So we're talking about two different things right now in part. And we're saying that if you did have a financial instrument back during the time period we talked about, 2007 to 2011, 2010, 2011, if you had the financial instrument, you're entitled to compensation for that financial instrument. But if you still have a home with a mortgage, still have it, and the mortgage was issued or affected by this during this time period, August 2007, August 2010, 2011, whatever. If you still have that mortgage, you still have an opportunity to have the mortgage declared to be satisfied because it was achieved in part with criminally acquired funds.
Completely. It can even go down to if you were behind on your payments and your credit score got messed up, you had a damage over and above what you can get from this class action. But it's only, that's why it's your case.
I get this now. I think I get this. The bank wants to satisfy the loan because if they don't, you're going to sue them, and you're going to sue them for more than the loan. You had $98,000 left on your loan. If you put your paperwork together properly and you sued them, in theory, the bank might have had to pay $500,000 instead of $98,000 in the event of a lawsuit. So they just said, we're going to pay you so you don't have any grounds to sue us.
Right.
Is that roughly correct?
Yeah. And my damages could be different than yours. And you know, so like I say, even though the credit situation is a whole different topic, but if you were damaged and because you were behind on a fraudulent mortgage, your credit score got tanked, you didn't lose your house, but the next loan you got, you paid a higher interest rate because you got damaged by an instrument that was counterfeit, then you deserve compensation. See? And this is what your individual case being a tort would do, being different than a class action.
No, I understand. I mean, the banks are in incredible danger right now. If everybody started suing because they'd been damaged by these false rates and they collected more than the mortgage, than the balance on their mortgage, I mean, it's one thing for the bank to lose $98,000. It's another thing to lose $500,000 or more. No telling how big this could go. Banks are in extraordinary danger. Melody had a question she wanted to ask earlier in the program. She wanted to know, after your mortgage had been satisfied for $98,000, what happened to your credit rating?
Well, we had to do some repair because in order for us to force them, this is an advantage people that are listening to your show would have that I didn't have, is in order to make my case, we just quit paying. And so obviously that took a hit on the credit score. So, but now that all this stuff is already evident, you know, now what do you think is going to go into my personal suit? It's going to be the damage on the credit score because I objected to an illegal counterfeit mortgage in the first place.
I understand it's retaliation.
Well, just
I thought that they wouldn't dare do anything after you'd presented evidence of this. They just said, goodbye, you're out of here. We're not going to touch your credit score because it would be retaliation for you trying to stop a criminal enterprise.
Well,
I mean, it would create even more liability for these people.
Yeah. I don't think it's retaliation. I just think it's a remedy. But
well, I'll tell you what, Rob, we have about 20 seconds left. Why don't you give people some contact information if they'd like to talk to you, if they'd like more information. Give us some contact information. Got about 15 seconds.
Yep. Easiest is Rob, R-O-B, at rmeadvisors.com. Send me an email and I'll respond.
Rob at rmeadvisors.com. Thanks very much, Rob. Good to
talk
to you.
Thanks, Rob. We'll talk again soon.
You bet.
Got some extraordinary information here. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Hope you tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Rob, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
There seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.